he trying to call the wrong number?
I don't know.
That's exactly right.
Hey, all right, man.
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm great.
Good.
Fantastic.
He just texted me.
So
I was
going to
come in.
Yeah,
I called him, or Tiffy, are you eight number? And Mark, so.
So he won't be on.
Are you there, Sherry?
I am.
He's in a brace now. Last check in 2 weeks.
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay, good deal.
He played basketball.
Gathering back in.
Oh, man, that's brutal. That's brutal. Which is a good thing. I know. Yeah, you know, it's awesome, man. It really isn't working. Yesterday, they spent all day outside, which is very rare, but I kicked them out because they like playing video games. And I'm like, enough of this, dude. Let's go up. Yeah, and that's what they're like, what are we supposed to do? I'm like, really? I'm like, have you seen your backyard? Like, unbelievable. Like, that, what kind of question? I was like, okay, I'm going to give you all about 3 minutes to figure something else out. Or otherwise, there's a lot of work to do back there that
we
can...
That's what we used to tell
our... I've never heard from them for like 3 hours.
There is.
Every now and then, one of them would sneak in and be like, I'm just getting something, Dad. I'm like, all right.
I love it.
Yeah, it's great. What are we supposed to do? Oh, my gosh.
Mr. Chairman, I think you've got all back. If you want to call them back to order.
Okay. This time we're going to reconvene our meeting. And thanks to Mr. Ben Sacek, he's agreed to give us our invocation for today.
Heavenly Father, help us to make good decisions for Howard College today. This is a difficult time for the college, difficult time for everyone. And we ask you to help us get through it and make the best decisions that will help Howard College go forward. Thank you for lunch today. It was very good. And thank you for all of your blessings and benefits to us today. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Okay, guest-wise, we got any guests?
I think everyone in the room is known. The mask may still be on, or still Berkland, but everybody knows still.
Well, he's crook anyway. He's got to have a mask on.
Is that a buck?
Awesome.
Talk about you, Phil.
That's just a joke. That's a joke. One of the very, very fine people. Okay, next item on there is the, we're going to, individuals asked to be present.
Yes, as far as you have on the line, you have Mark Morgan and Maxwell Barr, and of course here in attendance, Ben and Patricia and Adrian and yourself.
Okay.
So you have six of your seven. Michael, you did not make it, correct? Okay.
All right. Very good. Okay, our first item on the agenda then is our routine matters. You've had a chance to go through those, and we'll need a motion to approve those.
Mm-hmm.
Have a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
I have a second. All in favor say aye. More.
Aye.
All right, thank you. Motion passes. Thank you very much. We'll go to our really unfinished business, none there. New business, organizational changes for the district.
Yes, sir. So, as we know, the last 15 months have been an interesting time for all of us across the district, and certainly now that we've been going through this pandemic, it's just been even more interesting. And as we move into the legislative year, we know that we've got an economic downturn that our legislature is going to be dealing with. So we started this summer trying to do what we could to begin making decisions where we could save money wherever possible, make any kind of budget changes possible. And so we continue to do that as we move forward. And it just happens that we have had, over the last 15 months, we've had some administrative resignations at the cabinet level, as well as we have some pending retirements. And so I've been just looking at what we can do at the cabinet leadership level moving forward. And so these are the things that we're moving forward with. Our Vice President for Academic and Student Affairs, Amy Burchett, is going to be assuming some additional responsibilities from the Administrative Dean for Instruction and Student Services Big Spring role that was previously held by Aaron McKenzie, who resigned last January. That role we had frozen and removed from the budget this past summer, but that we're continuing to go forward with that approach. Terry Hansen, Chief Athletic and Special Projects Officer, is last year, about this same time, Terry was already beginning to try to transition. As we know, he had already retired, and as always, is a good sport and comes back and helps us when we were having issues, and so he had helped out with some projects that we needed. And so he is going to transition to a consulting role for the Big Spring SWIB roofing project, which you'll hear more about in a minute, in January of 2021. On our San Angelo campus, Jamie Rainey, Workforce and Community Development Officer, she was going to retire in spring of 2021. But I'll just make this comment. Terry and Jamie both are realizing the challenges that we have with budget, made some personal decisions to go ahead with their transition sooner. And so Jamie is going to retire in December of 2020. And with that decision, the Administrative Dean for Instruction and Student Services, Pam Callen Stewart, is going to serve as the Executive Dean for the San Angelo campus. And they had shared, they had some co-leadership responsibilities, different things. And so some of those are going to, those will shift to Pam, and then we are working on other approaches as well. The SWIB campus, Nancy Benura resigned last December, and when she had an opportunity to go back east. And so Danny Campbell, who is our Administrative Dean for Instruction, is going to move into an interim role as the Executive Dean for the SWIB campus. And again, these are just efforts that we're making to try to go ahead and address what we see in the budget over the summer, and then as we move into this next year. And we know that it's going to be a very challenging legislative session, and we're just trying to prepare for those upcoming situations. And so we're going to be working on that and continue working on just our overall organizational look over the next month as we prepare to go into the spring semester. I have been saying to several that it's as if we're in a fog and the fog is going to lift. And when that fog lifts, we want to see the light, not the train. And we want to move quickly forward. And so we're trying to get prepared. And so at the same time, we know that I'm referring to it as the legislative train. It's revving up its engines, and we know that it's going to be an interesting session. So we're just trying to go ahead and be proactive and make some decisions that will help us going forward. But we want to be ready and for the new opportunities when that fog lifts, because this pandemic is going to pass, and we're those of us who, as institutions that are ready, can move quickly, and we want to be able to move quickly. And we're going to begin the celebration of our 75th anniversary on November 17th, and we want to be ready to continue that legacy that has been a part of Howard College for all these years. So we're just preparing to do that.
Thank you. We need to give Dr. Sparks some approval on this. So I need a motion to approve these organizational changes. I have a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
I have a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Motion carries. Thank you. Thank you, Mark. All right. Next item on our agenda is Howard County Appraisal Board update and resignation and nominations.
All right. I will share that the Appraisal District Board has hired Richard Miller from Goliad County, which is Victoria, around the Victoria area, as the new chief appraiser, and he's going to begin on November the 2nd. Richard Petrie, who's been serving in the interim role, will stay on, I think, until July as a consultant. And as we had talked about at the last board meeting, Brandon Iden had resigned from the Appraisal District Board, and so all of the taxing entities were asked to give nominations if they had anyone that they would like for the Appraisal District to consider. This process is a little different when it happens during when a member resigns during their term. The replacement of that individual is different than when a person is replaced at the end of their term. So what happens here is that the taxing entities will submit names, and then the appraisal district will look at those nominees, and they'll make a decision. They'll appoint someone from the nominations received. So today, if you have anyone that you'd like to nominate, then we would need to get that name or names, and we can submit that to the appraisal district. At the same time, you need to be aware that Tony Kennedy has also resigned from the board. He's actually moving. And so at the next board meeting, you'll need to think about yet another name or names for that replacement. And there's two different deadlines. On this first one, it's November the 3rd, and so that's why you need to make the decision on Brandon this time. And the one for Tony is November 30. And so that'll work with your next board meeting. So, Mr. Chairman, if anyone has any nominations to consider.
Does anyone have a suggestion? I know I can't think of anybody right offhand. So I guess we'll just have to let that ride.
Okay. I will let you know that I know that the county, I believe they've nominated Dwayne Fox and Sandy Smith, I believe. So.
Okay.
So if you think of someone else, then for the next meeting, for the replacement of Tony Kennedy, then we can take that forward.
Okay. All right. Ben, there's no nominations on that. We won't need resolution to approve that. So let's move on to our next item, COVID-19 response status 7.
Okay. And I believe that that's up yet. Okay, for those that are following along, as you know how we do this, this report is getting thicker and thicker. But this has been, we're keeping a running status of what is happening since we're in altered operations so that we can report on a monthly basis what is going on with our decision-making and what's going on overall with COVID. If you will go to page, thank you, to page 3, you will see what has happened in this last month. It's kind of interesting. Our in Tom Green County, there were 2,229 cases, and now this has gone to 2,526. Dawson County has gone from 395 to 762. Howard County has gone from 722 to 1,053. And then if you just look across, I won't call out every single one of them, but if you look across, you can see that every one of our 13 counties has had an increase. The most significant, of course, have been in the larger areas, but you can see that there has been an increase across the board. When you go to the next slide, this is active cases. And again, you can see that Tom Green and Dawson have more active cases than they did in September. The active cases in Howard County have actually decreased, and some of that we know was driven by what was happening at the prisons. And then you can go across and you can see what has happened. You know, it just kind of fluctuates in different areas, but that helps us see what's going on with our active cases. And then obviously then on page 5, the recoveries are going to reflect what is going on as the transition takes place. All right, then we'll go to the next page, which will be 7. As I had have reported, the Texas Association of Community Colleges started off meeting daily, and then it's just transitioned, and now we've moved to as needed. And so that, again, is an effort to reflect where we are at this point in the pandemic. People are just trying to deal with it. We continue to meet as we need to. And, of course, this is continues to be an example of offered operations, what you're doing with your board meeting today. Okay, so then let's go to the next reporting page, which is going to be 11. Our spring and summer course schedules have been built with COVID-19 guidelines still in place for all campuses. 50% room capacity. Increased face-to-face instruction will be added back for the Big Spring campus in addition to virtual online. And San Angelo, La Mesa, with current strategies. The next page on 12, as y'all will recall, our semester is going to end, regular fall semester will end at Thanksgiving. And then, and that was a decision that we made early on, so that we would not have situations where people or students will traveling in and back in from Thanksgiving holiday, and we would perhaps find ourselves in a situation for exposures. However, we're having a December mini session, and we do have a new course that's being offered, GAIN 1303, and we've already started advertising that on the webpage as something new for students. Page 14, we're finding right now that we already have, some of the students have been asking for the opportunity to transition back to face-to-face or hybrid. And so we've been doing some of that the best that we can for some courses, particularly on the Big Spring campus. And the financial aid department is getting ready for a second mini-term in December. So we're trying to find ways that we can provide additional opportunities for students. I had reported at the last meeting that we were trying to reopen our prison programs. The FCI effort was delayed due to the increase in cases, and we're hoping possibly that we will be able to start delivery around the 1st of November, and we are changing our approach as far as delivery. As far as dual credit, we continue to work with our ISDs on potential changes in academic calendar affecting dual credit delivery. That's an ongoing, we have 26 school districts essentially, and so that keeps us pretty busy. page 16, we had the RN pinning ceremony for the Big Spring campus on October the 22nd with limited attendees, and we also broadcast it on Facebook live. And we're doing the same thing, LVN to RN pinning ceremony. It's planned for October 30 for our San Angelo campus. Okay. On page 19, spring-summer 2021 registration is scheduled to begin November the 10th, and schedules will be available on November the 2nd. Page 21. As you know, these CARES grants, they're wonderful. We've been able to give our students additional funding, and then there have been any things that are related to COVID, instructional kinds of things, and we are finding out more and more about reporting guidelines. But the one thing about the CARES reports, you do have to report on them. And so that has been a big impact on Brenda, and she's been doing that, and others have helped her, but it is an effort. And we do have some new reporting guidelines that we just literally found out about a couple of weeks ago, I guess now, and we're going to follow those for future updates. Page 22, we have awarded and distributed 16,965 of the 23,856 allocation that we received for GEAR TEOG, and the remaining funds will be spent in January for eligible students to enroll in spring courses. All of the $23,053 allocation received for the GEAR emergency aid has been awarded and dispersed to students. Page 24, we are trying to continue as much as we can normally, but it's not always as normal. And an example is what we're doing with recruitment and marketing. But we do have a virtual booth that is live and will remain up through November 20. As of October the 15th, we've had approximately 71 students visit the recruiting booth, and contact information is collected and followed up with her. We do have some in-person visits and presentations done on some of the ISD campuses, and in trying to do some tours as we can. We have scheduled 13 FAFSA nights, that's financial aid nights, and one of those was held virtually. On page 25, this is more about reporting, the 7th, not only we have reports that are going into the federal government, plus the OEB, Legislative Budget Board, also wants reports. So the 7th report was turned into the LBB, and we're working on our first Department of Education quarterly budget and expenditure report for CARES Act institutional funds. Page 26. We've expanded virtual events for student activities. Holly Taco Tuesday, Hispanic Heritage Month, and Band Book Week. Librarians are hosting research informational sessions with classes using Zoom. They're updating online research guides for each subject course to include quick access to subject-specific e-books, e-book collections, and other online resources. And they've set up a Zoom room for instructors and student use. Athletics, as you know, we've had a lot of change in athletics spring, with the exception of rodeo, and our rodeo team has been competing. Our other sports are not until the spring. Everything was pushed back to the spring. There have been some decisions made in the last week where, as you will recall, last spring, waivers were given for student athletes as far as that particular competition year, which allowed them to have another year of eligibility. Well, based on what's going on, there has been a vote at the NJCAA level, and there are going to be blanket waivers again this year for student athletes for any competition they complete during the 2021 academic year. And returning students are not going to be considered as counters for letter of intent purposes. We continue, if we have accommodation requests, we work with individuals on that. We've had 6 new requests for spring 2021, and we've worked with those individuals, and those have been approved. And we're going to have our first virtual orientation this Friday, and we have 25 employees that are scheduled for that. On page 29, we have purchased and are going to be utilizing some new software to conduct check-in process for residence halls in the spring semester, and we will be closing the residence halls during winter break to all students. When you get to page 31, as far as things that we continue to work on as far as purchases, we're still working on as far as our isolation rooms and our cottages. We're getting additional isolation room materials. And we requested proposals from our Howard County testing providers for residence hall testing. And we received 2 responses, one from AffordaCare and Big Spring Urgent Care, and we're going to be working with both of those entities as far as any kind of testing that happens with the residence halls. And CARES funding can cover that cost. That was something that took us a while to find out, but we are going to be able to use that, CARES funding. All right. On page 37, upcoming decisions, we continue to find ourselves having to purchase resources every once in a while to support students or operations during the altered operation status, and we continue to make those decisions and move along. Page 38, we are still we have to be reactive to any actions that are taken at the state level that could impact budgets as the economy is being strained. We're working with donors interested in providing support for students and employees struggling. As we already know, I already mentioned that we transitioned from Zoom to some face-to-face for some courses on the Big Spring campus. And a decision that is still kind of up in the air, not totally, but we're still talking about it, and that's spring break, the spring semester in general. And I will tell you, as of this morning, we have Texas Association of Community Colleges, a president group, and lots of uncertainty right now about the spring semester, a lot of conversation. People are beginning to kind of rethink what do they do about the spring semester, so there's a lot of conversation. We had already made the decision about Thanksgiving and already mentioned what we were doing. That was something that was decided actually early summer. But some others are rethinking what they're doing. We feel good about our Thanksgiving decision, and so we're moving forward with that. We all just continue to work with the scenario, and it's kind of interesting when you're on those calls. It's just different situations across the state. Of course, El Paso, I think a lot of people know that they've gone into, they've got a stay-at-home that's been enacted for the next couple of weeks. And so you just have different communities that are doing different things, and it's interesting to see what's happening. Page 39, upcoming decisions. We keep updating our Open Howard College plan, which I'll talk about next, as state and local guidelines change and adjustments are needed. And we've already talked about the prison program, and we're working with prison leadership about those, the education programs. I will tell you that daily decisions are being made in regard to actions necessary for reported or determined exposures or confirmed cases, and I want to give credit to Fabian Serrano and Rhonda Koenig. They deal with these every day. We have a good system where people call in, people being students or employees, if they have symptoms or if they find they've been exposed or tested or whatever with a confirmation. And we're trying to stay on top of it so that we don't get cases on campus that create exposures. And so, for the most part, things have gone really, really well. But I will say that it is a very time-consuming situation, and I appreciate Fabian and Rhonda for what they're doing with that and everybody else. We're looking at reopening of rentable spaces. And as you know, the Coliseum has been one of the last places we've been holding off on. We've visited a lot with city emergency folk and trying to make sure that that we're careful about what we're doing in the Coliseum. And I've already mentioned the testing for residence halls and the phasing. Okay, that's everything on the update on the status of what we're doing. Now I'll just quickly go over, Emma, if you'll pull up Howard College. Okay, same thing on this. We'll just go over the changes. And so, this was just updated last week. What you see in red, and of course, I won't go over all this, but we'll be sending this out to all of our employees, and it'll be posted on the website as well for students and employees. But what is in red shows you what continues to change. And for example, known close contact, that changed last week. CDC changed that. It has been 15 minutes of close contact, and they define that. That has now changed where it can be a sporadic 15 minutes during the course of a day. So that's a new consideration. They're beginning to use the term physical distancing and not just social distancing. It's the same thing, but trying to get across that it's the physically being, keeping your distance. And quarantining, there's some new information about that. We'll get into that. Go to the next page, Emma. Be page 3. CDC has changed its guidelines. It was 3 days, 72 hours have passed since recovery. They have now changed it to 24 hours have passed since recovery, and so that it has made a difference. And also respiratory symptoms, I've just taken it out, and now it's just the individual has improvement in symptoms. And so that is another change, CDC change. And then also, for patients with severe illness, duration of isolation for up to 20 days after symptom onset. So that's something else that CDC has changed over the last few weeks. Page 4, we keep trying to find ways that will make it easier for our students and employees, individuals that need to be able to share that they can return to campus. And in our San Angelo area, they have an online form that can be accessed, and that link is shown. We have been able to get a number that individuals in Howard County can call that will allow them to get a release to return to work or school. And we're working on getting one for the Dawson County area. So that's something that has happened over the last few weeks. I had reported at the last meeting that we were going to implement a dashboard. That's up. And we've been updating that every Friday afternoon. Again, that's an effort that Fabian and Rhonda are involved in, and they've got a spreadsheet that they keep up with and with all the information. And we're encouraging people to read the definitions, because the way that our dashboard works, it is if we have cases, a confirmed case, it ends up on campus that creates exposure. And so, you know, we might have more people that have COVID, but they're not on campus. They haven't created an exposure. And so we're making sure that everybody reads the definitions so that they understand how that works. The other things that are in red on page 6 relate to what is happening with Open Texas. And as you'll recall, there was we're working with CDC guidelines, we're working with Open Texas guidelines, and both Open Texas has updated some of its checklists for different kinds of entities, and in particular gyms. There's been an update, and so we have that. So, Mr. Chairman and board members, that's all on that.
Our next item on the agenda then would be the athletic field update.
Yes, sir. All right. As you know, we have been working on our signs for several years, working on donating some or getting some funds donated so that we could update our scoreboard, and we've been able to do that, and we're going to be able to get the softball and the baseball scoreboards replaced. And again, I shared that spreadsheet with you, but we for baseball we had an anonymous donor, and then the programs have also done some fundraising. And so we've been able to get all that donated, and so that scoreboard is on its way. Softball, same thing. We've had some fundraising, and then we also, Sonic, we appreciate them so much. They gave us a donation as well. And so we're able to through all those donations, to get those scoreboards. And as you know, that's been something we've been working on for years. So that's going to be happening.
You know
that. And then also our softball field house, that's something that we've been trying to work on for several years. And we've got a project that's beginning on that. Our construction trades program, they always come up with some kind of project. And building little small houses or tiny houses or whatever, you know, different storage sheds, all that kind of thing. And so I'll give credit to Terry. He came up with this idea and worked with Richard Light, who is the leader of the construction trades program on the Big Spring campus. And they were thrilled with the idea of, well, what if we help build that softball field house? And so we're working on fundraising, and we already have some that's in place already, and then it's going to probably be about a two-year project, but it will give the students an opportunity to have some real live work, and at the same time we'll be able to get the field house that we've been trying to work on and eventually get. So wanted you to know that. It'll be a slow process, but we'll get there. And it'll be with donated funds. There will be the construction trades program. We have some money in there just for any project, and so $10,000, and so that will be used toward it. But the rest of the money, which is significantly more, you know, we look at it's a project that's going to cost, when it's all said and done, it's about $62,000 based on our estimates. And and so we'll be raising the majority of all that, and the students will get that opportunity to learn. So that's the report on that,
okay,
Mr. Chairman.
Nothing for LaMisa or San Angelo or SWED.
No, sir.
So we're going to performance measures and outcomes.
Okay, your class reports. As you know, this is something that we do each semester, and you have the fall 2020 class report. You see the various reasons that that we believe that it's okay to have a small class, and a lot of times it has to do with helping a student graduate, has to do with even in some instances the complete load for a faculty member, students need to complete because of something that they're trying to get ready for to continue on in their program. And so decisions are made, and these are made across the district to try to assure that we're doing what we can for our students. And so that's a list of all that. We, as you know, we're supposed to share those with you on a semester basis. And so we will do that. We have done that this week.
Okay. Financial indicators?
All right. No financial indicators.
Student success indicators.
All right. You have under the Texas Higher Education Coordinating Board has released the almanac. As you know, they do that on an annual basis, and you can access that at that website, the 2020 Texas Public Education Almanac. And it gives specific information for every higher ed institution in the state of Texas, and it's very useful. I think we will still be getting the paper copy, and we'll share that, but in the meantime, you can go ahead and access some of that information.
Okay. Quality Enhancement Plan for annual report.
Okay. Lee and Emma will pull that up. And Cindy is here to give the report.
You've been more confident. I've been,
yeah.
Been here, you know, let me face it, right? So we're, this report is actually from our 1920 academic year of LEAD, which was our third year. So we're now entering into our fourth year of our five-year QEP plan. So some of the information in the report, moving forward, we've made a lot of adjustments as we tried and tested things out, and something worked, something didn't work like we wanted to, so we've had to make adjustments as we go. But for last fall, we had 301 students that started in the program, and we had 259 of them complete. So that was our best completion rate so far. And then we had, at the end of the program, we do a exit survey, which we use for a lot of our data that we're reporting on when we do our fifth-year report, and we have 66% response rate for that survey. So if you look at the program completion rate by the district, we had 86% with our completion rate for the district, and you can go back through there and see the different campuses. We had 95% in Big Spring, 100 in Lamesa, 75% in St. Louis, 100 in Squid. That obviously the Lamesa and the Squid campuses have smaller numbers that we're looking at originally, but we, you know, that kind of comes with all of the things that we report on. One of the things that we looked at also is our fall to spring retention rate. Those were not actual outcomes that we have as goals for the program. It was outcomes that we wanted to achieve with the program, but they aren't specific goals that we have listed in the program. But our fall to spring retention rate for the district, we had an 83%, and then, of course, you can look across the range, 86 for Big Spring, 90 for Lamesa, 9 for St. Angelo. If we look at the goals we had one about academics, one about student engagement, and one about career development. And our first one was with goal number one, students who take leave make all C's or higher, and that excludes any withdrawal. So a student could have a legitimate reason, it may be the best decision for them to withdraw from class, but then that throws them out of the mix. So if they did not complete all of their classes they registered for with a grade of C or higher, then they don't count into this measure. And so you can see all of C or higher for the district, we had 47%, and then obviously 53 that did not. You can see each campus to see the comparison for theirs as we go through. That was for the fall. And then we look at them for the spring. So you can have a student might have achieved all C or higher in the fall and did not achieve that in the spring. Or they could not have in the fall and then they get all, you know, C or higher in the spring. So for the district, for all C or higher, we had 48% for the spring. So they're pretty comparable. And quite honestly, I was shocked because of the spring semester. And when I first started looking at data, I was like, oh, this is going to be a nightmare. It's going to totally ruin all of our reports for this year, but it didn't. So randomly, I'm not really sure how that happened, but kudos to students. And to the coaches and faculty and all of that that are working with them. So the other part of our first goal is looking at that students are able to locate, identify, and access student support services, and that is one of our student learning outcomes, and we have 5 different learning outcomes, and that is the first one. And actually, all of our learning outcomes had super high responses from students who took the courses in both the fall and the spring because we did a fall. Our students did have to go into all of our classes in the spring. They went into the online virtual mode, but we were able to still meet with them. And so for the first learning outcome, we had a 97% exceed. For our second one, which is utilizing relevant campus internet and communication technologies, we had 96% exceed. The third learning outcome, discover and implement personal learning strategies, we have 93%. And then demonstrating use of an effective time management system, which is a big deal for our students and one that they feel like they need a lot of help with, at 95% exceed. And then our learning outcome was that they would adopt systems of academic organization. Students did their major or course load, basically what they're doing in school, the amount of courses that they're registered for, and we had a 99% exceeds rate on that. Our second goal, which is one of our bigger ones, is that students engage in career and academic planning. And we have a lot of different things that we look at with that. We've tried to beef up what we're doing in career development and planning. And so we have the students develop an academic and career path plan as we had originally planned when we started the program. And these are the different things that we look at when the students are doing their presentations with us. So they develop their plan, and then they have to present their plan to the class with their coach and their mentor. And so these are their results that we had. And we had really good results. We had a lot of students, they're not at the 90s as high as our learning outcomes were, but they are far above the 75% that we were looking for. So we've got, 87% exceeds, 89, 92, 89, and 90 for those different areas that we look at. They had to develop and research all the educational requirements, the career requirements, certification, all of that kind of work, and they have to do that for both their Plan A and their Plan B in order to receive exceed standards on those issues. Our goal number 3 is that students will engage in campus and community activities and service work. And we did have a little difficulty with this in our spring semester because we got cut off before we actually got to do a lot of our service work projects. And it also hindered a lot of our campus involvement since we couldn't come to campus. And so we still tried to keep students engaged and tried to give them alternatives for the service work. But we still had exceed standards at 92%, even considering the problems that we have in spring semester. Students, I don't know, some people think it's odd and some people don't. They really enjoy the service work. They like having those projects and feeling like they're doing something for other people and accomplishing something. And so it's a good thing that we like to keep them involved in. Articulate connections between activities and application of the skills and concepts that they learned within LEAP program. We get that from some of those exit surveys that I talked to you about. And we had 94% exceed and 6% meet, but we didn't have any that did not meet that standard. They understand the impact of campus involvement in their service work. And like I said, they really enjoy it, and they feel like they get something out of that. And they many comments are like they would like to have more opportunity for service work. So we're willing to hand this. One of the big questions and one of the big comments that we hear a lot from staff, faculty, coaches, mentors, they feel like we ask a little too much. And so we asked this question in our exit survey, so we've been asking it since we started. And the students tell us, and it's anonymous, so there's no going back to any certain student and saying, well, you answered this way, so you're going to have any kind of repercussion because we don't know how you answered it. But they tell us that the workload is just right. They don't tell us that we're getting too much for you and that they feel like that we're asking too much for them for their one-hour credit class. And so you can look at that, you know, 83%. I mean, year one, I mean, and that's just increased as we've gone on. They are still telling us that the workload is just right for that survey question. We do have some that tell us it's too much. Those numbers on not enough are probably like one. One student said you're not giving me enough work, but we'll throw those out. We'll throw out a few of those too muches, and, you know, we'll hit pretty close right there with we're giving them just the right amount of work. So we still totally get about the curriculum that we're working with. These are all of the different skills that we focus on survey question number 10, all the different things that we're trying to help students with. They're studying, note-taking, time management, organization, research, test-taking, goal-setting, career planning, Blackboard seems to be their nemesis at times, interpersonal skills and financial management. And we've done a lot of focus, increased focus on financial management and financial literacy as well. So we tell them, where do you think we helped you out, or ask them, tell us where we feel like they gained the most from that. And so, as you can see, I mentioned earlier, time management is always a big one, time management. Goal setting was an increase over the last couple of years. Career planning, many of them feel like that what we're doing are the steps that we're having them go through are helping them to look more specifically at what's required in careers and what they have to do in order to achieve that. And then we do have some decide that they don't want to do it at all. And then on your three, you can see that they did get more out of financial management. We beefed up what we were doing with financial literacy, giving them some more real-life opportunities and presentations for them to ask questions about it or add and things like that. So that's going like we wanted it to. Critical thinking, you know, the previous QEP was critical thinking. So we always have to throw in the critical thinking question. We feel like they're learning critical thinking. And of course, they tell us they are. I guess Black will tell us whether they really are or not, but you know, we have 92% or almost 93% tell us that they feel like that what they're doing at least is improving their ability to think critically. We would love to think that that's, you know, 100% true, but you know, we want them to learn how to do that. Question number 12 is that they taught them how to seek out and use resources, which kind of also goes with some of their critical thinking, seeking out information, learning how to make educated choices and decisions. And again, they tell us that that's been increasing each time, and they tell us that that is something that they're learning from us. One of the things when we did student interviews and focus groups before we developed the program is they told us, oh, yeah, we covered those things in classes, but they weren't applying them in real life. So they talked about time management. They weren't applying time management out to be better academic students or better prepared for their futures. And so we asked them to tell us if they're applying, learning to apply skills better in their day-to-day situation. Again, their answers to the survey is telling us that they are feeling like they are learning how to apply things better. When we do the learning outcome assessments, we don't just look to see, oh, did we talk about time management? They have to show us proof that they're utilizing whatever kind of tool it is, whether it's a calendar, their phone, whatever. They have to show us that they're using it. We don't just take their word for it. So they are having to actually use the tools that we're giving them. These are just a couple of questions. You know, would you choose the same major, recommend leads to others, recommend your major to others, some questions of interest that we pulled out of the survey. They don't report back to any specific goals that we have in the program, but we just found them interesting to look at that. And most of the students, I mean, and the students that would recommend leads to others have increased steadily over the 3 years of the program. The no's have significantly decreased. The maybes stay pretty consistent. There's some of those students like, yeah, I might not. But overall, the students say that they would recommend that to others. The biggest clusters that we have had continue to be our health professions. It kind of goes hand in hand because we have a lot of interest in our health profession program. And so it would make sense that those students are coming in wanting to be in health professions. We don't have them at this point that they already are because they are still getting prereqs done as first-time college students, but they're wanting to pursue a health profession. So that's what that group is. Undecided is a large group as well, as we also are. You know, a lot of our students don't really know what they want to go into when they come to us. We did see a jump in our public service clusters for year three. and our STEM went down. So we just kind of see a you know, fluctuation in those as the interest of students varies as we get them in. The last couple of pages are just comments that we pull out of the survey. I won't read through all of those with you. You've already had the report, so you can see those. But we do ask them to give us their feedback. We want to know what is something that they really liked about the program. So if those are things that are going well, we would certainly want to try to continue those. Words that they would share with other students who are coming in to leave, we can use that in information for first bringing in students, like your people who have been through this tell you this. So we share that kind of those comments there. And then we ask for constructive comments to help make our program better. They're the ones who have been through it, you know, like, and so we want to know what can we do better. And so we have always asked this question with our survey, and we always utilize the information from it and have made changes every single year to what we're doing based on their input with that. So it's really important for us as well. Coming into 2021, we did implement a few changes, so that we'll be entering our fourth year. We're almost through. It's kind of odd to think this semester is over, but we did this year. We got the opportunity to implement a leave new to student orientation, or kind of like a leave 0 week. We had to modify it thanks to COVID, but we did get to have it. We got to have it face-to-face. We didn't have any horrible outcomes from having that face-to-face. The students were great about wearing their masks, being consistent, and following the rules. We had 167 students participate, and we did a survey at the end of that, getting their feedback, and it was great. So we were able to take some of the things that we had to do during the regular semester, pull them up to that orientation to take care of it before they ever even started classes. Now, the Howard County one, or the Big Spring campus, Big Spring La Mesa, we had to do a little differently. We had to wait till school started because of the situation. But in San Angelo, we actually did it before classes ever started, and it was great to make sure that students were ready for day one. Students tell us they're ready for day one, but they're not always really ready for day one. This gave us an opportunity to really sit down and make sure they did know how to get into Blackboard. They did know how to set passwords, knew what MyHC was, and all those kind of things. Another thing we did that we're really excited about, we battled with textbooks as we've gone through since the beginning of the program. And this last year, Lauren Barber and Davin Darnell, who are our two leads for the Big Spring Engineering, they actually went through with the template, and we designed I did not have anything to do with it other than say, yes, y'all go. They designed our own textbook. So we were able to put all of our own forms. We could put it in the order of our curriculum. All of our stuff's loaded in the textbook. It's for first-time college students at community colleges was the base, but then we got to totally personalize it with all of these stuff. So we were really excited about it. We liked the textbook a lot better, and so it's also a lot less expensive for students. And so we're really excited about that part. And then we also did clarify roles for our coaches and mentors. As we had taken the program back down to the fall semester only for actual enrollment, students get their grade at the end of the fall semester, our coaches and mentors were struggling a little bit with how to interact with students. So we have beefed up what we're doing with our student mentors, our peer mentors, because they continually interact with the other students in the spring semester. And then our coaches and mentors maintain contact, but not as significantly as before. And then in the spring, because we cooperate, we will get to have our spring activities this year. And we're having job fairs, we're having Dress for Success seminars, we're having budget reality fairs, mental and physical health awareness programs, and financial literacy programs. And so last semester we got, again, cut short. We got a couple of them in on the San Angelo campus before the spring semester ended, but and they were highly successful, so we're really looking forward to getting to use those again this spring. We also incorporate that any student can come to those. It doesn't just have to be so it's for those students, but any student can come. And so we had a lot of students at San Angelo Budget Reality Fair. It was the first time we had one of those. And we had a lot of students come that weren't in leave, and everybody got a lot out of that. So we're looking forward to continuing to implement some of those curriculum stuff. We're here to go before we have to do the fifth-year report. Any questions?
Comments?
More than what you really wanted to know today, but...
I just have to say, Chair Freeman and the board members, Cindy has been a fantastic leader for this, and you can just, you've just done a super job, Cindy. We really appreciate it.
Fun.
Yeah, and what has happened is our students are benefiting. That's what's happening. We're very excited about it.
That's quite obvious. Thank you, Cindy. That was great. Thank you very much.
You know, we started the first year that you did this, but as you see the data coming along year by year, I think it's just an outstanding. So thank you for taking the time.
Thanks. I have a lot of fun. It's interesting.
Yeah, for sure.
It's just sometimes, because I actually teach a section myself,
and
it's interesting working with Julie, my mentor of mine, and it's like some of the things you think is like, they need that program that really does
help
for it. It's exciting. It is helping.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Great. Thank you. All right. On to monitoring. Purchasing. Steve, you going to talk about this, or are we just going to go through it?
Yes, sir. Good afternoon.
Got to have Steve up here, don't we?
I'll be glad to update you. The first one that's on there is the turnkey installation for the Coliseum HVAC equipment. And if you remember at the last board meeting, gave permission for Dr. Sparks to award the contract due to the possible upcoming market price exchanges. So we did that, and this is just a recap of how the bids came in. The bid was $84,100 to JL Heating and Air Conditioning, and that's who we awarded the bid to. And you can see the other two bids and the prices they came in out at, and then the last one was a no bid. So,
okay. Okay. Approve that? Have a motion. Have a second? Have a second. All in favor say aye. Opposed?
Aye.
Motion carries. Thank you very much. All right. Hail damage report.
And I just commented, I'm really pleased to see that you sent this to four different companies. Remember that from the budget meeting, that it will be easier on the board in the future. You've gotten four bids. You've got three bids out of four, rather than, say, two bids out of three.
Right. Okay. We try. Sometimes you get bids, but we certainly try to get
these. But you at least reached out to four, which gives us a little more,
sure.
A little better position to stand on, come to us and say, hey, and we did. We upped the number of people that we, appreciate.
The next one is the roofing bid. And Terry and Phil are both here, and I don't know if they want to speak to any of that.
Yes.
But I can go with, do you want me to go with the bids?
Why don't you set it up, and then they can be just kind of what you did, or the process.
Well, what you have is a letter from Vernon Dunnigan. Mr. Dunnigan sent out the RFP, and you can see the number of people.
Okay.
And we did receive those bids, and then, as he stated in his letter, that we had a committee that got together and evaluated them. It was 55% on based on the capabilities of the offeror, and 45% based on the proposal price. It ranged anywhere from a little over $5 million to $3.3 million. And so what we came up with in the committee was to award it to WCR Construction. So,
yeah. Let Phil, and Vernon's on the phone. Vernon Dunnigan called in, so he's available too. And so Phil is going to be the local spokesman here.
I don't want to take up too much time. I'm here just to answer some questions about the proposal opening. Let you know that, of course, we had to reject all the bids on the first package. We put the second one out. We received these bids, and all five of these guys are highly qualified. We ranked them all, and ranked out to be very near the top of the range, and it came down, like it does in some cases, down to price. And WCR, like Steve said, had the lowest price. There are probably low bidder. As you can see, the body parameters are pretty tightly connected. So these guys are looking at the same thing, and we're good pricing. This came in a good bit below what our estimate for our probable cost was for the work. Timing is everything. A lot of times in construction, like we learned when we did the bond project, pricing was so advantageous we got 3x pricing. In that same vein, our pricing came in so good, we sent a request to the contractor to price out some additional work because the second package every day. We did what we thought were crucial items. But I just received to what we requested. And what we requested was work at the McKinney Center, Broughton Ag Complex, the central plant, the bus barn, the metal part of Howard Cottage, the fuel storage shed, the old clubhouse, which is just the maintenance storage now, baseball batting cages, the baseball dugouts, baseball field house, softball concession building, the little storage building behind Howard Cottage, the activity building at SWID, career and tech at SWID, the maintenance storage building, which was the old ambulance storage across the street to the north of that. And all we received pricing. All of that work will be additional $825,831. Should y'all elect to add that, and we can do that since the bid structure of this was CSP.
Competitive sealed proposal.
Competitive sealed proposal. Thank you. I need a little help with that. And that's within the range of the amount that we can add to the contract. We can either do it now, y'all can decide to do it now, or we can do it with the change order later if y'all want time to look at it. But what's going to be if we add this work, it'll do every billing that y'all have with the exception of the Diagnostic Assessment Center. It's been determined not to be a real viable building. Really don't want to spend money on that. Building trade storage, and the reason why we're not doing that now is because it's got some problems that need a lot closer look at. So we need to go and evaluate it. Probably do some drawings and put that back out to the contractor. And the softball dugouts here, they have recently received a coating. So those metal roofs over that are in good shape. So, anyway, so questions about the proposal, about any of the additional buildings?
Bill, if I can jump in and board members so y'all will kind of know, you know, as I had shared in the memo, we were so pleased, just like you said, Phil, how things worked out during the bond project. Our timing was wonderful, and so we got great bids, and that allowed, whenever we were doing the general obligation bond, that allowed us to do even more. And if you'll recall, we had made choices as far as, you know, we had our claim, and we had made choices on the buildings that were in worse shape and that they had to be worked on. Some of the others we thought that, you know, we could manage for, that would be okay going forward. And so the fact I'm thinking, Phil, and I'll just say this, the board members, obviously it's their decision, but perhaps since we just got that information, perhaps it would be preferable to them for us to be able to go through that list, keep making good choices, come back and recommend what we would say go forward, and then they could do it as change order. And the other thing too, that we, as we all know, during these construction projects, is that you start something and then you end up having to do something that you weren't expecting. And so it might be one of those kinds of things that the best way to approach it, and I'm looking at you, Terry and Phil, to guide me, but I'm thinking that it might be better to just kind of start and then we can keep coming back to the board as we're moving along, because if we're on one roof and we need to do something else, and that may end up spending a little more money, and we just keep coming back with change orders.
We prepared for that kind of latent condition or unseen condition that we have to address,
right,
including a contingency embedded in the bid process.
Okay.
So we are prepared for some of that already.
Okay, good deal.
And so, like I say, even when we add that, we're still a good bit below our probable cost.
Okay. Phil, let me ask this question. If the board decided that they didn't want, they can go with, yeah, we want to do that today, or, if they went down the path of change order, or even giving us another month, you know, to for all of us to sit down and really look at it and make a decision, are the prices going to go up on us?
No, I think we can rely on these prices probably for a good 30 days.
60 days.
Didn't see anything that nailed them.
I think Vernon just said 30 days.
We do have
60.
Is that what you said, Vernon?
Yes, ma'am. 60 days.
60 days.
60 days. Okay, I'm sorry, Vernon. But each one of the prices, each one of the phases of the buildings, or each building that we added, is actually broken down by its own specific amount.
Okay.
So we've got 16 different prices. You know, I guess if you wanted to weigh, you could look and choose. If I were going to say that...
How much money is in the pot that we got to do all this work?
It's a sizable amount. Yeah.
More than this.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we got more than this plus the $800,000 you're talking about.
Yeah.
If we add this together, it'd be $4.223 million in round numbers.
And we got more than that.
Yep.
We got a good bit more. I mean, I don't think you could.
Okay.
The rest of the money on the roofs. If the drainage, all kinds of stuff. Really don't want to talk about specifics because the way we arrived at that number.
That's fine.
Confidentiality agreement we have.
$2 million to be done with it. And these are all things that our architect has determined need to be done. We have the money. Let's do it.
Yes.
I would also ask that for the next board or whatever, that we have a breakdown of everything in there so we can see what it was.
We can probably have the breakdown before here. It was attached to an email. I could forward an email to Terry, need to have it.
Yeah, but it's not going to necessarily be in here immediately, in 2 seconds. But I would make a motion that we just do.
I have a motion that we go ahead and keep the whole project. Do I have a second? Nobody's going to second? Motion fails.
I think we're probably going to end up being on the same page, but I think if we have the minute to look at it, it's probably best for our eyes to look at agreeing to
be able to go over it and look at it and make sure it's everything that you want it to be.
There's no doubt. I mean, I'm going to, what these guys are going to say. It's just that literally we're just, getting the information. And, you couldn't help that.
We really wanted this Friday, but
right.
It is a lot of work we gave them Friday.
Oh, absolutely. Right.
I mean, I understand.
Right, yeah. Right.
And I know y'all love me, but y'all may not love me that much.
Oh, no. We're just kind of getting our heads around it, you know.
Yeah.
But, I mean, obviously, I know we'll go with, you know, we're going to, but it will be helpful to be able to look at that information. And then we can bring it back to y'all in, you know, in November. I mean, that's what I was thinking, if we could just, if we could go down the path, obviously, you approved the bid. And then basically,
yeah.
So would that be like the first change order?
At this point, it would be.
It would be a change order in November.
We could just roll it into the contract.
Okay.
Kind of smooth and clean, but, you know, change orders, that's all part of the process.
Yeah.
The cost of the change order. So.
And there's not, the prices, you said, Vernon, don't change for 60 days.
Yes.
So we got. Yeah. So nothing changes. It just, you know, gives us a little more time. But I mean, I think it's going to end up being the same thing.
Yeah, I agree.
But
I think the consensus then is to go ahead and approve the initial bid here, and then wait for till next month to review it, and then get a change order. That's
all this new stuff from the morning.
All the new stuff, yes.
Yeah. Terry, have you even been able to go through it with Phil?
Just, it literally came in. I had seen it when we were sitting outside here.
Okay.
And Phil and I looked at it briefly.
Sure.
And as Phil said, it does address all the things that we had hoped to do.
Right.
But it's very fresh information.
Yeah.
So fresh that, in fact, we didn't even have time to go print it out.
Yeah.
I agree that probably down the road we'll probably do every one of those things.
Right.
If there's no difference between drilling it in the contract order, I guess it's really 6 1/2, doesn't it?
Right. So what happens if the board, is there a difference between the board literally, I guess, waiting a month? I mean, technically going with WCR, they could choose WCR, but not the final amount until, we're talking, the next board meeting is 3 weeks away.
That may be a Vernon or Phil question.
Okay, the question is?
Could we wait on completing the contract so it wouldn't be a change order?
We're going to do the contract now so we can get that rolling.
Okay.
We have to award in the contract.
Okay.
We have to use that to get reinsurance certificates and our bonds and all the stuff that's included.
Okay.
They have to sign the contract, send it to us, and we have to sign it before they can get to work.
Okay. And so?
So we need to go ahead and do the contract.
Okay. But then in 3 weeks, then it would be a change order
right.
to the contract, and then it just would be...
They're likely not going to be doing work by that point. They may just be started or mobilized, because once we do the contract and the award, we send it back, we write them a work order letter, we have to approve submittals, and all that before they can really get going. So by that time, they're probably not even going to be started. So, but we can tell them that it'll be the position of the board that once they have time to review, that they are very likely to approve the additional buildings as a change order.
Yeah.
And the realistic thing is, if you do approve that, then we will have addressed every building y'all have,
right.
except for two swiz and the two dugouts. So, you know, 20-year plus, probably. Jake, thank you very much on all your buildings here in this swiz.
All right. Have you and Vernon really been able to look at it? I mean, it just came in pretty quick this morning.
He got it at some point, and sent an email to me, and we got it just a little bit ago.
Yeah.
And like I said, we didn't have time to print it out. I was reading off my phone.
Okay. All right. So you're okay.
But I feel pretty confident.
That you're going to feel good about it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so I need a motion whether we need to approve this initial bid for doing the work with the possibilities of adding more on after the next board meeting. We've had a time to review it. I have a motion. Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
Sure. I have a second. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you.
You're approved.
Thank you.
Yeah, Phil, I would say
very much.
9.9% chance we're going to do it.
Yeah.
Our due diligence, I think, to look at it. And
you know, we could.
If it doesn't affect the price difference or there's no major headache, then I think it's worth it for us to at least look at it.
This, this is your best shot to get this work done at this price.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's
I think it's pretty much a no-brainer. But if nothing for peace of mind when people come asking, we actually put our eyes on it before we could make the, especially with the environment that we're in.
Very
good. Thanks,
Phil.
Thanks. Appreciate it, man.
Thank you.
Thank you, man.
Thank you, Vernon. Appreciate you.
Thank y'all very much.
Thank you, Vernon. Appreciate you very much.
Thank you, Cheryl. Okay.
Oh, hey, Steve, Blackboard.
Okay, the last one is a Blackboard module outcome. We were fortunate that we were able to get it through a purchasing co-op that we're a member of. And as you remember, those that co-op has already done the bid. So all we have to do is lock into that contract number that they've done. And this is for a Blackboard outcome module. It's with DLP Solutions, and it's the DIR contract that we're members of. And the funding source is Alpha, so a grant is going to fund it. It's $102,328.26.
Okay. Do I have a motion to approve the Blackboard? I have a motion. Do I have a second? I have a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Aye. All right. Motion passes. Thank you.
Thanks, Steve.
Thanks, Steve.
Thank you.
Handbook catalog changes.
All right. In your handbook, you see that policy 4.11 on grants. This is just some cleanup on our grant policy, and this is recommended by Steve and Brenda, and the changes are in red. And so it basically goes along with our Carl Perkins, some things that we need to change there. So we'd recommend that change. Whoops. And then the next one would be, we're always glad when we can do this, and this is actually a fee that will go down for students. The Texas Success Initiative assessment going from $36 to
$24. Okay. Everybody had a chance to review that. Need a motion to approve it? I have a motion to have a second.
Second.
I have a second. Thank you, Ben. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
That's four. Thank you very much. Motion passes. All right. Next item on the agenda is the President's report.
Okay, and what I'm going to do is kind of take you through activities and recognitions and take you all the way down, if that's okay.
Yes, please. Please do, yes.
Okay, so on activities, you've got your calendar. There are three of you that have a Howard College Big Spring Foundation meeting on Thursday. You see that we do have some scrimmages. Of course, the rodeo, encourage everybody vote. And then we have... your next board meeting based on the holiday going Monday, November the 16th. So that's 3 weeks from today. And then you see, we've already talked about this, we have final exams and we'll have exams finished and the fall semester will be finished by Tuesday on November the 24th. And then we start the mini session that next week. And then your December meeting will be on the 14th, and then there are some of you who will be in the Financial Foundation meeting on the 16th. And so that's kind of your calendar for the rest of the year. Recognitions, I've already shared the success of our students on the LVN to RN programs, the nursing pinnings that we've had, and that's pretty awesome what those students were able to accomplish in the pandemic, and we're very pleased and proud of them in both San Angelo and Big Spring. Legislative and general updates. I've already said a little bit about the legislature. They continue to try to get their approach in place as far as how they're going to do things in the spring, and we're waiting to see what they're going to be able to do relative to hearings and how we will be handling the legislative process as far as what we'll be able to do. And so hopefully I'll have some more information on that by the end of the year. But I know that is, it's a struggle for everybody. How do you operate in all of this? And the Capitol's not even open right now. So that would be all on legislative general updates. The 2020 Virtual Association of Community College Trustees, excuse me, annual Congress report. Some of you were able to participate in the virtual event, and does anybody have anything they would want to share from that? I did watch several of them. It was different.
Julie and I were talking about that at lunch, and you know what I meant about it was the camaraderie that we had to be able to talk about some of the sessions when we came out, to do a review at dinner about some of the stuff we'd learned and people that we had visited with and that sort of thing. So I missed that, but right. It was nice to sit in your fuzzy house shoes and watch it on your computer too. So, but I did miss the interaction of the group.
Yeah.
It seems to be a Zoom world, you know. It was the same, honestly, in a different setting. The political, you know, conventions and stuff. I mean, it just, it can, yeah, you can watch it, you know, in the bathroom, but you don't really meet people and interact
yep.
with people. Yeah, it's not the same. It's not. You don't get the same experience.
Yeah, very, very different. Very different.
It sort of goes back to what was said at the budget meeting about students doing online learning rather
yep.
than in-person.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they are totally different.
It's totally different.
Yeah. One of the sessions I did watch that I did want to bring up today was the one on autism. I don't know if anybody watched that
one. I didn't watch that
one. And I don't know, coming from public ed,
mm-hmm.
that kind of is a little near and dear to me, but I've just seen the increase of autistic children coming along, and now we're going to have several of them graduating from high school and trying to go on to college.
Mm-hmm.
And this one school identified the autistic children in high school
mm-hmm.
at each high school campus
mm-hmm.
and had counselors that worked with them and their parents.
Mm.
And, you know, some of them I know are not ever going to get to go to college, but there are some of them that are extremely intelligent and
mm-hmm.
just need the right guidance. And
mm-hmm.
now we're talking about the suicide rate in young adults with autism is very, very high.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I don't know, if we could work towards something like that with
mm-hmm.
autistic kids in the high school and
mm-hmm.
get them to the junior college and then hopefully, I don't know if any of y'all have ever watched that show, The Good Doctor?
Yeah.
Where that kid is autistic, but he's a brilliant. And that's what I want to do. I do want to bring that up because that might be something we want to do.
Very good.
Different.
Anybody else have any?
There was one college that actually did a really good job. I can't remember. I'll have to go back and see. I thought it was on my phone, but I think the notes are on my iPad somewhere. But they did a good job helping some high schools during the pandemic. A college opened up since they weren't open for school, and they let kids come in at different times to use their computers, which was really cool to do high school since there was no one on campus. So that was neat. And I think it was titled, like, you know, helping the something student with that doesn't have access to tech. I don't know what it
sure.
was. But I thought it was about college. It was more about high school. Helping them, which actually helped them now in the semester. They got more students because of it on accident. And so it's kind of cool. But I wish I was in my slippers, but I was at my office. And so I literally, like, could not pay attention because I was at work.
Yeah.
So I feel like if I'm in Big Spring, I had to be at work. So these Zoom things aren't going to work for me. And I can't just sit at home. If I'm in the town, I got to be at my work. It's not fun. But it was kind of cool. I'm glad they still did something.
Yeah.
So.
They made an attempt.
Yeah. It was better than nothing for sure.
And I will remind everybody that those things were recorded and you can still
yes.
watch them later.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and so.
I'm going to think about that.
Yeah. And so, you know, and that's what I tried to
good point.
To do just kind of a broad sampling.
Yeah,
no, so maybe I could recommend some things to you. And there was one in particular that I watched that I thought was really good on planning, and we may want to look at that. I mean, I probably should go back and look at it again before I recommend it to you, but I thought it was a good one.
Cool.
I think the one with transition.
College is Mary.
Okay. All right. All right. And then finally, on the board book update, as you will recall, we are transitioning to a new upgrade of software, of the board book software, and so you will be getting an email, and you will be told you've got a new password.
Right, they'll give you a new username, and we'll go in and change the password to what you want to see.
And that will start tomorrow.
We're going to do it tomorrow, yes. I don't know how soon they'll get the emails out. I would say this week, watching.
Hello?
So if y'all will be paying attention for that, and then somebody needs to be on mute, and then we will, if you have any problems, let us know, and we should be ready then for the November board meeting. We will be on the new software. So.
Is the software going to, I'm not sure how I want to say this, is the physical board book that we have, is there going to be a software update that is going to download into that?
It's a new version.
Right, it's a new
version.
That needs to be, you know, as you said to me before, Julie, you know, sometimes when I get the stuff, I look at it on my laptop rather than
right.
Open the stuff.
Same thing.
But at that point, I need to do that on this device so it updates the software.
Right. I'm thinking it will be a whole new, like a whole new icon on your, I think it's just going to be a whole new thing. I don't think it's going to update what you have right now. It's going to be a whole new
thing. It's going to need to be in this direct.
Right.
That's fine. I just.
And if y'all have any trouble.
Wasn't sure how it was going to
work.
If I needed to be downloading it from this, because I don't normally do that at home. But
yeah,
you can do it.
That part I think will be just the same. It's just a matter of you've got to log on with a new password and
that's easy because I can do that, on my laptop. But the other part will have to be on your desktop.
And it will be just a little bit different. It will look a little different, but I think user-wise for y'all, it will be similar.
So we'll still have to call you.
Yeah,
you'll we'll be calling you.
That's true. That's very true. Touché.
All right, Mr. Chairman.
Is that all we have? Okay, seems like that's all. So by the authority granted by the governor, I declare this meeting adjourned.
All right.
Thank you all.
Funny you say that, my sales leader.
We'll talk to you guys later.
All right, bye-bye.
Thanks. She stopped answering my calls. And now you don't even answer my
We're sorry. Your conference is ending now. Please hang up.